Let us turn to the Gospel according to John in chapter 2, and let us consider again verse 5, verse 5 in John chapter 2. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And we have already been considering this command of the Saviour. It was at the wedding, the wedding reception, as we might call it, and for some reason the wine had run out. No doubt that was a bit of a disgrace, as people might view it, but I assume it's not wine of the strength that was likely to cause drunkenness, and I would understand that that was the kind of strength that people were used to, and certainly the Savior would not provide for them what would be dangerous. Dangerous in the sense of causing them to sin. And that's, as we all recognize, the effect of consuming too much alcohol, that people have restraints removed to a greater or lesser extent, and they potentially commit sins that they wouldn't otherwise commit. But what we're about here is to consider Jesus and his authority. We considered that in Sabbath morning, the authority that Jesus had because he was the Son of God. Yes, the Son of God in our nature, but for all that, the Son of God. And he had authority. And his mother acknowledged and recognized that authority. That's why she encouraged the servants. She could see that it would be helpful for the host, the bridegroom, that things would go in the way that was expected. Of course, there are other reasons why there should be obedience to the Savior. And we went on to consider what the Savior says to everyone. They're to do it because he has authority. And without going over the various points that were made, just to draw attention just now to these particular points, these particular commands. Repent and believe the gospel. Let us consider that. And you who are here and have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, remember that the Savior with all the authority of God, for he is God, God the second person in the Trinity, three persons in the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we're speaking about the Son just now, God the Son, who became man. And he speaks with authority. And the authority of the Savior runs down the centuries, as it is recorded in Scripture. It is there for us to consider. It is there to direct us. And what authority these words have. Repent and believe the gospel. And we are to go on repenting. And we are to go on believing the gospel. Yes. That will be for our spiritual good. It will be for our good in this world. And it will be for our good in the next world. Let us just ponder the vast difference that is between eternal life and eternal death, between an eternal existence in heaven and eternal existence in hell. Let us take these things seriously. And let us be asking that the Lord would bless these truths to us and apply this command with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, for the sake of Christ. And let us be thinking of that call as he comes to us. Mark chapter 1, for instance. Repent and believe the gospel. And Matthew chapter 3. Believe the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But there's a third point which I didn't touch on in Sabbath. And that was what the Savior particularly says to believers. You see, they are under God's authority. They are under the authority of God the Son. Every believer here. Now, let us make this distinction that the obedience of sinners, and until grace is given, it must be entirely outward obedience. But till grace is given, that obedience is not acceptable to God. Of course, it's in a sense better that people would be obeying the commandments outwardly, even if they do not obey the commandments inwardly. But the distinction I was going to refer to is this. The obedience, as far as it goes, of sinners cannot save them. But it is the duty of saved sinners to be obeying God's commandments. And they should be seeking grace from above so that they would keep God's commandments and keep them from the heart. We read in John chapter 15 the Savior's words, without me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you see. It comes to the same thing. It may be helpful to express it in the other way. Without me, or apart from me, oh, what can we do? Apart from Christ, not just his commandments, not just what he has directed us to do, but our ability to keep these commandments. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from himself. It's for the sake of Christ we will get grace to keep these commandments. Why was John, able to keep God's commandments or Christ's commandments. I'm thinking of Christ's commandments in particular, though I might not keep to that entirely. But Christ's commandments as what he spoke himself when he was in this world. But we don't need to separate between God's commands and Christ's commands. Where does the grace come from? It's from himself. It's what he earned when he was in this world. The great work that Christ accomplished. Yes. And it's sufficient for the Lord's people going through this world until they are received to everlasting glory. The grace of God as purchased by Christ, as earned by Christ, as merited by Christ. Yes. And the grace that is bestowed on unworthy sinners, unsaved sinners as yet, that they might be saved. It's all for the sake of Christ. What he did in this world, that sinners might be saved. Well then, you see, he was saying to the disciples, we read it in chapter 15, abide in me, do not go away from me. How is it possible for a saved sinner to go away from Christ? Well, in one sense, it's impossible. They are united to Christ. They have been brought within the bounds of the covenant. Yes. But that's not what Christ means. He's laying his authority upon them so that they would not in any degree separate themselves from Christ. That they would feel their dependence upon him. As the one who died for them and rose again and is on the throne of everlasting glory, making continual intercession for them. Yes, that is so. And yet, perhaps, we can describe it as a mystery. That although Christ has saved them, and they can never be separated from, yet he does allow Satan to get in. He allows unbelief to occupy their souls to some extent. Yes. And what is that intended to do? Well, it's to increase their dependence upon it. To increase their dependence. As he brings them back, as they repent of their departure from, so they feel their need of being kept. They feel their need of looking away from themselves. Yes, as we have been considering these words, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Now we don't have in ourselves that strength to keep ourselves in the ways of God. We need grace. We need to be casting ourselves more and more upon Christ. And how can we do that? Well, we need grace and more grace. Our strength is in the Lord. Our grace must come from him. Our faith must come from him. It's all of grace. And the grace that we need to obey, to obey any of the commandments, to obey all of the commandments, that's from the Lord. Oh, how earnestly, how consistently we should be depending. And as far as that is concerned, if we feel our inability in whatever direction in we may be deficient, and we will be deficient, we must seek grace from above. We must seek help from the Lord of glory. We must seek grace for the sake of Christ. We need him. How much we need to have that impressed in our souls by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit applying the truth. And that's the only way that we can obey any of Christ's commandments, any of God's commandments. It's all for the sake of Christ. It's all through the Holy Spirit working in our souls. Let us be crying out in our souls for that. The Lord is able, the Lord is ready to give these blessings. Yes. Now, see what Paul says to the Ephesians. You were sometimes darkness. At an earlier stage in your lives, you were darkness. He could have said you were dark. And I suppose to express it as he does, not so much a description, but a state. It's a stronger expression of what he means. You were darkness. There was no light. Nothing but darkness. Is that not a solemn description of the state of someone unconverted? They need light. And you may remember what Paul says about being sent out with the gospel to turn sinners from darkness to light. It's not that Paul could do that of himself, but Paul through grace, and Paul as an instrument, merely an instrument, as the Holy Spirit enlightens the darkness of the sinner's soul. Now think of Paul himself. When the Savior met him, there was a great light. A great light. But there was another great light. Not the outward light. But there was a great light shining into his soul. And he saw Jesus, who had been made a little lower than the angels, and he was now crowned with glory and honor. By the grace of God, he tasted death for every man, that was to be brought in, or every kind of sinner in any situation throughout the world. Yes. Nobody has any right to say, I cannot be saved. I'm too much of a sinner. No. Salvation comes to us. And we should be crying out in our souls, Lord, apply the truth to my soul. Grant that light from above would shine into my soul and that I would see Jesus. Not in some kind of vision, but that I would see Jesus in the light of the Word. In the light of the Word. Now, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, as united to the Lord Jesus. And then comes the commandment, walk as children of light. Not as those who are children of darkness, children of Satan, you might say. They're not to walk as those who are characterized by darkness or characterized by sin, but those who are characterized by light. And so, we should be asking the Lord to shine his light into our souls so that we might see Jesus and that we might see his law and see his commandments. And I'm not sure that I finished something I was speaking about already, but what I was speaking about as far as I went was that sinners are not saved through keeping the law. But having been saved, there is a particular obligation on them to keep the law. And they show themselves to be the children of light or the children of God by their keeping of God's law. It's a mark on them that they are keeping the law. It's a mark of being the children of God that their desire is to keep the law, though they may not succeed, and they will not succeed perfectly in this world. But those who have begun to keep the law of God from the heart are showing that they are on their way to heaven. They are not keeping the law so that they will get into heaven, but by keeping the law, they are showing that they are on the way to heaven. The grace is from God. It's all of grace. That's fundamental. Paul stresses it in Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Yes, we must be absolutely dependent upon God for everything, for the salvation of our souls, and for grace to keep God's commandments. Now, at the same time, we need to be examining ourselves. And I've just mentioned what is a help to examining oneself. Are we in the faith? Have we believed? Have we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? These are the sorts of questions we may ask. And so, have we a desire to keep the law of God, knowing that it is for our good? The commandment is holy and just and good. And good there means good for us. So we should be pleading with the Lord. As for many a thing. But pleading with the Lord for grace. Grace to keep his commandments. Not from ourselves. It's the gift of God. Yes. And so, we should decide, as Peter has it in his first epistle in chapter 2, to desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. There's been Hebrews a contrast between those who are fit for strong meat and those who are only fit for milk. I'm not sure what I have quoted from Peter is intended to bring out that distinction. I think all the feeding we can get from the Word of God is described there as milk. It's nourishing. Yes. And we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And to go a step further, we're to desire that we would be able to digest it, to keep on the same picture. To desire that when we drink the milk of the Word, when we have the Word, the truth of God set before us in the Scriptures, and that when we read it, when we listen to it being read, when we listen to it being expounded, that we would get good from it. And how can we get good? Through the work of the Spirit for the sake of Christ. Yes. And it's so that we might grow, so that our faith might be stronger, so that we would be more constant in repentance, that our love might be strengthened, and every other grace. And the sinner, as a result, coming to depend more and more on the work of God, God the Son just now, and the Holy Spirit applying the truth of God to the souls of sinners. Yes. I've been trying to stress the necessity for us to be making, to be asking for the means of grace to be applied to us, and the constant necessity for for grace in relation to every duty. It's all of grace. Salvation is all of grace. This aspect of salvation, to keep God's commandments, that is all of grace. And you see, there's the duty of prayer, to seek God's blessing, to seek a blessing in the means of grace, and the duty to be meditating on the Word, and to ask God to bless the Word to our souls whenever we hear it or read it. We need the blessing. And then there is that particular means of the Lord's Supper. That is something that we should be considering. What is my duty in relation to the Lord's Supper? The Lord Jesus, who has said, this do in remembrance of me. Is it our duty to go? Well, there may be several weeks until that time comes round, but if you are feeling that it might be your duty to remember the Lord's death in that way, to make a public profession of what you hope might have been done in your soul, you can't start considering that too soon. To be praying about, to be reading the Bible with a view to understanding, if you have the evidences, the beginning of the evidences even, of having passed from death into light, or life, that you might get light on the Word of God. That should be something that we should be continually concerned about. to get light on the Word of God. And light on this aspect of the Word of God, what it teaches about these evidences of whether we have passed from death into life or not. Yes. Whether you may get that in the preaching of the word, or your private reading, or your private consideration of the truths of God's word, not just to read the word, but to consider it. Yes. Well, we have been told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the prosperity of Jerusalem, for the well-being of Jerusalem, and to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers into his harvest. But let me just leave this with you. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Jesus in heaven. Let us not turn away from him when he says to us, believe, repent, and believe the gospel, the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May the Lord bless his word to us.